This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
The pricing for the feed grains has already been in place because they're using typically the prices received by the producers of those grains. So those grains have already been sold at the farm level, so that's where that price comes into play at. And then that's what we also use whenever we get the milk income feed ratio out of the agricultural prices report. So what I do is look at that to see, and grain prices did drop off mainly because of the decline that we had in the milk price estimate for this year. But then if you go and you look into the futures market, that gives us a little bit better read about where our feed costs are going to be, where our potential profitability is going to be. And we are looking, not surprisingly, at a profitability level that's below last year and then also below average by over a dollar based upon the futures prices that closed on July 12th. We're looking now at an 851 estimated income over feed.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Brooks, dairy economist with Stoneheart Consulting in Dearborn, Missouri.
Tuesday.
Helping cows beat the summer heat. Joining us with some tips on keeping cows cool is Dr. Jeffrey Dahl from the University of Florida Department of Animal Science.
There's only one way that they can really get rid of additional heat, and that's through evaporative processes. And that's why it's so important to sort of think about how we're actually cooling our cows and what we want to do. And with higher humidity and sort of higher water in the air, it's more difficult for them to get rid of that heat, and that just exacerbates the problem. So that's why we tend to think not just of temperature, but a temperature humidity index as a more accurate reflection of when cows are going to get heat stressed.
Wednesday.
For me, it's very satisfying to go onto a farm and have the producer say, you know, we just struggled with ringworm in this pen ever since we built it. You know, the last 15 years we've had ringworm in this pen. And then to go in, evaluate the feed and the vitamin trace mineral supplementation, make some changes, and 6 months later see a barn full of calves that don't have ringworm is a really satisfying thing for me. And a lot of producers don't know that we can get it to go away with better nutrition. It's pretty cool in that respect.
Is that seasonal at all, or is that just year-round? It doesn't matter when you
get it. Yeah, good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess in my opinion, it does seem to get worse in the spring. It does seem to have a seasonal component, but it is a year-round disease. But it does seem like sometimes we get a little higher cases in the spring. I'm not really sure why about that.
It all depends on the environment, because you say it's you get it from the environment, right?
Yeah, especially the ringworm, that fungal hyphae live in the environment, on the wood, in the environment, in the barn, and the animals are exposed to that. And if their immune system isn't functioning properly, it's specific for nutritional deficiency, they can really easily pick up that disease.
Thursday.
Well, the Senate is working on a couple of high-profile issues. One is infrastructure funding, and there's a couple bills, actually, that are in play with that. And one of the other issues that's been very high-profile, not just in this Congress, but for decades, and that's the need for immigration reform, which could take many different forms, Bill. But for National Milk, what we're most interested in is any change in policy that allows us to bring undocumented workers to legal status, those that are working currently on our dairy farms. And then the second component of it is that we need to have a future flow of workers, probably through a guest worker program like the H-2A visa program, which exists right now, but it is not available to dairy farmers because it only helps with seasonal labor, not the year-round labor needs that dairy farms have.
Thank you for the update, Chris. Chris Galen is Senior VP of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation.
Friday.
Colostrum is the very first milk a cow's produce. It's very rich and creamy-like. It'll contain 6 times more protein, and the most important part of that protein is the immune globulins that give the calf immunity. Those are called IgGs. And when the calf is born, unlike a human or some other animals, there is no immunity protection because of placenta barrier as far as that goes. Ideally, colostrum should go into the calf at least 4 hours after birth, because now that IgGs, these antibodies, have to be absorbed across the intestinal lining. And after about 16 to 24 hours, where that thing shuts down, it's called closure and cannot be absorbed. So, Bill, our take-home messages are that colostrum replacers have its place. There are some real advantages and disadvantages, and costs would be involved as well. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday.
Dairy Rewind.